It's my pleasure to be with you this morning, and I bring my wife's greetings to you. She couldn't come with me when I came last week. She will be joining me in October 14th with my oldest son, Benjamin. And we were talking together, and she wished we could be with you. She was very excited about the missions conference, but due to some responsibilities for Benjamin to go to the school, she couldn't come, but she will join me later on. It's really an honor for me to be with you this morning. I come from Lebanon. If you want to have an idea where is Lebanon located, you can open your Bible and you just look on the maps to Israel. And when you find Israel, you find Lebanon, because it's located on the north to Israel. So Lebanon is on the Mediterranean Sea, just to the north to Israel, and Syria bordered from, we have on the east side and the north side of Lebanon borders with Syria, and the west side we have borders in the on the Mediterranean Sea. I was saved. The first time I heard about Jesus was in the year 1982. My oldest brother got saved when he was studying in France, and when he came to Lebanon, he witnessed to me. And as Pastor said, in Lebanon now, so far, is a Catholic country, is not an Islamic state, but we don't know how much it will stay like that, because the population of Islam is getting more and more bigger in Lebanon. But I come from a Catholic background. My mother was Catholic and my father was Greek Orthodox. And the first time I heard about Jesus was 1982. And I went with my brother. He came to Lebanon from France, and I went with him to the church and attended some services, and I was very happy going to those services. And I remember I prayed and I surrendered my life to Jesus. But due to some opposition, and I was not I didn't have the assurance of salvation in my life, I said to myself, why standing all those opposition in my life? And I don't, if I die now, I don't know where I'm going, if I'm going to hell or no. So I decided not to walk with Jesus, to take a further step with Jesus, but to not to go to the church anymore. This is what I decided. And it took me, I kept on this way 9 years. It was during those years, I was really, I knew what I had to do. I knew that I have to take a step with Jesus and surrender my life to Jesus, but I didn't have the courage to take this step. And 9 years, like in my life, like a hell. I was afraid of dying. If I die, I will go to hell for sure, because I am a sinner, and knew what I had to do, but had no courage. Until the year 1991, the Lord used also my oldest brother in my life once again, and I was ready in this time to surrender my life to Jesus. And from the very first day, I knew that the Lord wants me in His ministry. But I just kept waiting. I waited until the time at His time, His timing comes available for me to be in the ministry, in the field of ministry. I am a civil engineer by training, and I had lots of opportunity in my life, but couldn't take any step to that will take me away from Jesus and take me away from the ministry. So I just stayed until the year 2005. I was called to the ministry, and 2007 I joined IPM. I was accepted as a missionary with International Partnership Ministries, and ever since, after I took this step to walk with Jesus, my life changed 180 degrees. I felt the joy. I didn't have any joy in my life. I felt the joy. I felt the happiness. I felt that this is really what I wanted to be. I want to be fully committed to the Lord and give all my life to Him and serve Him in whatever He wants me to do, I will do. So I still keep waiting for Him and trying to do everything His way, not my way. Amen. And this morning, I would like to share with you from the Word of God, from the book of Acts, chapter 1. I will read 3 verses. Well-known verses 6, 7, and 8. The Bible says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. When the special forces plan to accomplish a mission, an important mission, of course, they put a plan and assign the required qualified people to do that. But for those qualified people, in order for them to be able to accomplish this mission, they have to forget about themselves. They have to forget about their own concerns and own interests. And they don't have to focus on themselves. They have to move their focus from themselves to the plan, to the mission. And if by any chance they failed to do that, and their interest and their concerns went through into themselves, the mission will fail. And what is important to us is the mission that the Lord entrusted us to do, the Great Commission. We want to accomplish this mission properly, and we want to glorify the Lord in what we are doing. And in order to accomplish this mission properly, we have to do it God's way. And we have, from this passage, we will see two main guidelines for our ministry and for our life in order to be able to accomplish this great commission properly. From this passage, we will see that we have to put our own interest aside, and second, we have to focus on God's commands and plan. They seem very simple, but sometimes, because they are very simple, two guidelines, they are very simple, sometimes we miss to take by it and accomplish our missions. First, we have to put our own interest aside. If we return back to what have happened before this last conversation that took place with Jesus and his disciples, we see that the Lord had spent 40 days with his disciples after he is risen, he has risen. Yet the disciples were, as we see here, were still asking about the time of restoring the kingdom to Israel. They were still thinking that the Lord will establish his earthly kingdom in his first coming. Earthly kingdom that they were waiting for thousands of years. And if we go back also to the days of Jesus' ministry, we can see that the disciples were arguing also about who shall be greatest in the kingdom of God, The Bible says in Luke 9:46, then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. Jesus had spent 3 years teaching the disciples and trying to lift up their eyes and we see the disciples were seeking they didn't understand what the Lord wanted to teach them. In the week before Jesus' crucifixion, while he was teaching the disciples about his death, came the mother of John and James, and she asked Jesus to sit her sons, one on the right and the other on the left of his kingdom. All this was because everyone who followed Jesus, even his disciples, were expecting from the Lord to establish an earthly kingdom and deliver them from the Roman. And because that didn't happen, after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, people were seeking this earthly kingdom. And when Jesus entered to Jerusalem, they thought this is the time that he will establish the kingdom. But after a week, they realized that he is not coming to establish his kingdom. On his entry, they were shouting, Hosanna, but after a week, they started to shout, crucify him, because he did not accomplish what they were expecting of him. And if we return to the disciples, also we see that the disciples even were disappointed because Jesus did not establish this earthly kingdom, and it was not as they were expecting. Two disciples also on the road to Emmaus told Jesus while he was walking with them, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They were expecting something, but didn't happen. Even though Jesus was teaching them that he is going to Jerusalem and they will deliver him to the leaders and he will be crucified, they did not understand what Jesus was saying, teaching them. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke 18. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Listen what the Bible says. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. They understood nothing. Followers of Jesus wanted an earthly kingdom from him in his first coming. But Jesus had another plan in his first coming. Jesus will definitely establish an earthly kingdom in the future at his second coming. But first, he wanted to redeem us from the wages of sin. He wanted to save us from going to hell. And this is what he had accomplished on the cross after he had said, it is accomplished. And between his first coming and his second coming, he left for us a great commission, as mentioned, as we have read this morning in Acts 1:8. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is his plan. So what I was trying to say, that the disciples were still, after Jesus, before going to ascending to heaven, they were still thinking of the earthly kingdom. They were still asking him about it. But Jesus, as I said, had another plan. He has another plan now before establishing his kingdom. He had a plan of salvation, a great commission to us. And what he said to the disciples, he wanted to change their focus from, because as I said, they were seeking this earthly kingdom, but also they were seeking their own interest. Who will be greater in this earthly kingdom? So all the focus was on themselves. So in order to be able to accomplish this great commission, Jesus wanted to lift up their eyes. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." So it was like a turning point in their quest, in their asking about the kingdom and his plan. And Jesus tried to change their focus from within themselves to his plan, what he said. "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive." Here comes his plan. You don't have to put your plan. Don't have to be concerned about what you think. Just be concerned about what I want, what is my plan. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." If we want to accomplish the Great Commission, we have to do it God's way, as the Lord wants, and not to be very concerned about our interest and how we plan to do it. So we have to put our interest aside, and then we have to do it God's way, as the Lord wants. And we have to be focusing on God's plan and God's power also. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." The power is from the Lord, and our turn is to be witnesses unto the in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when I was thinking about this mission, this commission that the Lord entrusted the disciples, I was thinking of the churches around the earth. If we in Lebanon, we want to apply this, we want to do this mission, commission, and we start from our church to the area around our church and to the uttermost part of the earth, and every church around the world does this. How much the gospel will spread? It will spread from east to north to south, and it will make like a Christian net, a gospel net. If just one church does this, it will go like lines. But if all the churches, it will be like a net that will not be broken. So this is what the Lord wants us to do all over the world, to apply this from every spot to the uttermost part of the earth. And sometimes there is some misunderstanding, some places that are neglected in the around the world due to some reasons. Maybe people are not focusing on all what the Lord wants, or people are not maybe people are seeking their own interest. I don't know. I'm not accusing anything, anyone. But there are some places now in the earth that have not heard the gospel message even once. And scholars, they did this 1040 window, and they said that between the 1040 window, 95% of the people inside this window have never heard the gospel message even once. And I'm saying this that just to enlighten or to widen our vision For those places that has never heard the gospel message even once. And if we look to this 1040 window, and we look, we focus on it, we zoom on this 1040 window, on the middle of the center of this 1040 window, we see the Arab world located there, and also China, and also all the other countries around the globe. But if we focus also on this part of the world, we see the Arab world is located in the center of this part, and if we zoom more, we see Lebanon in the center of this place. And this is what the Lord enlightened our vision in Lebanon, and we saw this need. We saw our place is a very strategic place to take the gospel message around us. And because the Lord opened our eyes about this need, we felt that we have to accomplish what the Lord wants us to do from this great commission. But there's also some misunderstanding about this Arab world. I was sharing this thing with Pastor Livioko last time. There is some misunderstanding about between some scholars about the Arab world. They think that the Arabs are all descendants from Ishmael, and the God cursed Ishmael. And because Ishmael was cursed and the Arabs are descendants from him, they are cursed. And it is useless to invest our effort in taking the gospel to those people because they are cursed and they will not be saved. And if we look to this part of the world, we see lots of people, most of the Arabs that are Muslim, they are not saved. And this is a result of a curse. Well, I will put some points in front of you to widen a little bit our vision about the Arabs and the Arab people. First, the Arabs, most of them are descendant from Ishmael, yes, but not all of them are descendant from Ishmael. If we look to the Bible, to the book of Genesis, we see three lists of genealogy about the Arabs. We see the descendants that are coming from Joktan in Genesis 10, and we see also the descendants of Abraham through Keturah, and it's in Genesis 25, and we see that the Arabs are the descendants of Ishmael, son of Abraham, Genesis 25, also from 13 to 18. And if we widen our search a little bit, we see that Ishmael was not cursed. In fact, he was blessed from the Lord. In Genesis 21:13, we see a blessing from the Lord to Ishmael. God will make a great nation out of Ishmael. And then he said to Hagar in Genesis 21:18, that he will make him a great nation. So we see that the Lord did not curse Ishmael. He set a blessing on him. What I am trying to do now, I'm not raising a case of defense on the Arabs, because I am an Arab, no, or just defending the Muslims or something, no. What I am trying to do, just to widen a little bit our vision, to see that those people really need the gospel message, and the Lord is saving people among them. And this is what we believe, and we are trying to do what the Lord entrusted us to do in this part of the world. There's a blessing on those people. But if we look now to this, the Lord's blessing throughout the Bible, part of it is physical blessing, but there is a part of his blessing that are spiritual. Now, if we look to those people, to the Arab countries, to the Gulf area. We see the wealth. We see the millions, billions of dollars with those people because of the oil. There's a physical blessing. We cannot deny that. There's plenty of wealth in this part. But we don't see this spiritual blessing happening now. The gospel message started from, as the Lord said here, from Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And in the first decade, the gospel message started from the Middle East, from Jerusalem, spread all over the globe, all over the earth, and made revivals all over the earth. But if we look to the through the history to this part of the world, we don't see big revivals happening in this part of the world, in the Arab countries. We don't see spiritual blessings happening there. Although there is a blessing from God, but we saw that there is a physical blessing, just physical blessing. Now we are waiting for the spiritual blessing. And we want to take part of this spiritual blessing. And we want the Lord to use us in this spiritual blessing. The spiritual blessing of the Lord is to save people among those nations. The Lord started this work, and even though we don't see big revivals happening now, but the Lord is at work. He is saving people, and he is preparing the soul of this part of the world. In order to big revivals happen, we have to, thousands of people come to Jesus, you want people to follow those people. You want leaders to follow those people. They cannot come like millions without leaders for them. You have to disciple them. You have to teach them the Bible also. So the Lord is saving, and the Lord is working, and the Lord is training people also to handle those big revivals. Didn't happen, big revivals, but we believe it will happen because it is started. Jesus, the Lord is saving many people around those countries. Let me share with you some figures for God's work in the Arab countries. 3 million Christians now are present in Sudan. Church growth annually in Sudan is 9%. In South Algeria, there is around 50,000 Christians. They are all from a Muslim background, because in Algeria there is no Christians. In Saudi Arabia, thousands of electronic Bible are downloaded every day. People are very hungry. People are seeking searching to, they are thirsty for something in their heart. They don't know what is, but they are searching. And when they find Jesus, they accept him. We are called to work with Jesus while it is day. And Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now it is a day, and the Lord put in front of us an open door. He set before us an open door, and we have to do his work. We have to do it his way. He has put us in this part of the world for a reason, because he wanted to use us. And as I said, if all the Christians around the earth, they cooperate, they partnership with each other, it will be like a whole Christian net that will cover all the earth, and the gospel message will reach everyone everywhere. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. So we have to work while it is day. We look at our country, as I said, it's still Catholic. We don't know tomorrow what will happen. But now, because it is still like a Catholic country, we still have freedom of religion. And so the door is still open in front of us to act and to take the gospel message. Lebanon is the only country that we can take tracts and we can distribute it openly. All the other countries around us, it's forbidden. You cannot take a tract and give it to someone. You cannot stop one on the road and talk him about Jesus. You will be imprisoned. In Lebanon, we can do that. And it's as I said, it's a strategic place where we can take the gospel message to the people around us in Lebanon and also to the people in the other Arab countries. And this evening, we will have, I will share with you some of our presentation, in our ministry, how we are trying to reach the people in Lebanon and the people around us in the Arab countries. Because, as I said, the Lord has set before us an open door, and the Lord entrusted us to do His work, and the Lord had put in front of us a plan to follow it. So, as the Lord said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We are called to do the work of Jesus. We are called to do it in His power. You shall receive power. And while it is day. And He promised to stay with us till the end of times. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for sending your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you so much for this salvation. We thank you so much because you took us from the sin, and you justified us, sanctified us, and saved us. Thank you for all what you have done to us. We ask you, as we have learned this morning, we ask you in His name to help us to do your work, to accomplish this great commission. You have said it is accomplished. You did everything. And you entrusted us to a great commission with your power. We ask you to help us to rely on you, to rely on your power to take this mission, this gospel message to the people around us and to the uttermost part of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
During this missions conference, we have a couple of things we want to accomplish. We want to accomplish seeing a need. We saw a need this morning. The country of the Philippines, the country of Lebanon. We need to see a need right here in this place as well. The other thing we want to accomplish is to develop a burden for those who have the need. It's wonderful to have these missionaries with us that are out on the front lines, like we like to say. But you know, there's a front line right here. As we listen to these missionaries speak and they present the Word of God, would you please prepare your heart to let it challenge you? And I'll do the same. Let us let the Word of God challenge our hearts to not only appreciate what the missionaries are doing, but to understand we have a job to do right here in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who really need it. this morning, if something has touched your heart and you would like one of these folks to pray with you, we invite you to come while we sing this closing song. And I'm sure they'll be glad to sit down with you and share with you. So the invitation is open while we sing our closing song this morning.